Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. I'm Chris Wilmerding, your host. The show is a series of conversations with business owners about their beliefs and values and which beliefs and values they want to share with the next generation. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply wait until the end of this 20-minute segment and we'll provide a link. Simply sign in at that point and we'll be in touch with more information. Now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome, audience, to the Legacy Podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs like yourself to understand what their views on legacy are. And today's guest, we have a special guest. That's Graham Hogg, co-founder and CEO of C6. So rather than me telling you a little bit about Graham, Graham, tell me a little bit about you and tell me about your business.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you this morning, and thanks very much for inviting me on. Really looking forward to the discussion. So a little bit about me. I started off my career in the UK Commando Forces. I served during my 20s as part of the British Royal Marine Commandos. And about 10 years ago, I entered the world of team engagement, you know, looking at how do you engage teams in organizations to change or the business transformation journey that they're on. I'm now really privileged to call myself the co-founder and CEO of C6, and we're building the future of team engagement, and we're doing that through technology, specifically through simulated experiences using gamification elements and some interesting technology to engage teams at scale.
So how does that play out? Like, how do you simulate a team engagement? Is it more of a mission? Is it how does that work? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, it starts with whatever the organization wants to simulate, right? It might be simulating teams using some new technology. It might be simulating the way that different business teams work together. For example, a marketing team and a data and analytics team, or it might be sort of simulating some just basic tenets of high performing teams. What we then do is we take those core components and we bring in elements of gamification to really drive that sort of fun and engagement, and then we roll that out to the organization. And what's slightly different, Paul, about what we're doing is, whilst we have a platform that builds these experiences, we don't really deliver them ourselves. We've built our technology in a way that enables our clients to run those experiences themselves. So slightly different to what else is going on in the simulation space.
Yeah. What's a quick example or a case study that you could share with us where we could get an idea of how that works?
Yeah, sure. So we were working with a leadership team in a financial services organization, and they were a global team working remotely. And that isn't a 2020 thing. They've been working across geographies for a number of years. And they were facing some sort of classic sort of challenges in that world. Sort of silo thinking, effective sharing of information, aligning to the organization's mission, dynamic reallocation of resources. So what we did is we built a simulation for them. We actually designed it around a fictional motorsport race.
Oh, interesting.
Where we put those teams into different sub-teams. We built an AI inside the sim so that different teams could ask questions and formulate their own strategies. We built chatbots, strategy cards, et cetera, et cetera. And then we handed it over to them, and specifically their learning and development team, and said, here you go, here's a platform that you can use to roll out across that team and others inside the organization. So really driving that sort of active participation in change and doing things slightly differently.
All right, I'm going to go off the reservation here now that it's really interesting. So I can imagine that in team type of simulation activities, there's certain types of personalities. So especially in a financial services type of realm, where you have the mathematicians, then you have the relationships, then you have operations. You know, is there a certain point where you can identify who should be in the right seat, or what type of tasks should this person be doing in these type of simulations?
It's a really good question. And we think about it in a slightly different way. What we're really trying to do, first of all, what you're describing is competitive advantage, right? That diversity, that cognitive diversity is absolute advantage in financial services. You know, data scientists working with a domain expert, that's really what we're trying to unlock. In the simulation, what we're trying to do is simulate those points of friction. So those cognitive gaps, you know, Paul, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Here's my perspective on the problem. Those semantic gaps, you're talking one language, I'm talking another one. These things happen every day inside the organization. We bring that to life in a safe environment. And what we do is we say to teams, throw yourselves into it. It's fun. It's an engaging challenge. And then let's have a discussion around what are the behaviors that we saw in ourselves and each other. And Paul, that's very much the start line. And what you're doing there is you're raising awareness and motivation to change. So teams going, yeah, actually, we're not very good at information sharing. We're not very good at capturing different perspectives or walking in the shoes of others, as we say. Now, let's think about what can we do differently immediately to get to the fastest path to performance. You know, Paul, traditionally what organizations have been doing is having a very content first approach. Let's get some content and just sort of throw it into the organization. Let's put it onto a learning management system and go, here's some articles or some e-learning modules that you can go through. And that's wildly ineffective. You know, people just don't remember some of that content. If it's a sort of classroom-based PowerPoint presentation, we know that we forget the majority of that. We're trying to be much more participatory with teams and much more experiential to really, really raise that awareness and motivation in individuals. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we could go on and on about it. Such a fascinating concept. So are there any other competitors out there, or what's particularly unique about this type of product?
So when I started the business about 6 years ago, I was first exposed to the simulation tech landscape. I used simulations in my military career for extensively. What I saw in the industry was a lot of consultancies and business schools with simulations that they ran themselves. And it was very much part of a service offering. Mm-hmm. And most of those experiences are great. You know, they're really well curated, they're quite high fidelity in their nature, and the person facilitating it is normally a subject matter expert in that area. Mm-hmm. It might be in pharma, sort of a product launch, it might be in supply chain or something like that. What we're trying to say is we want to be less of that sort of high fidelity, high curated experience to more of a sort of Lego set. So we're saying to customers, on the C6 platform, you can build your own experience and run it yourselves. So to the product team at C6, every morning they wake up and think about not only the participants of our experiences, but importantly, the facilitators and deliverers of our experience. Because we don't run these experiences ourselves. We put our platform into the hands of others. And not many people are doing that. We're sort of creating an interesting category in the simulation technology space. Mm-hmm. And we're in a very different price point as well, compared to those other experiences.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So let's switch gears a little bit. Many of the people that we interview, they're successful. They have a specific turning point that they can point to where their trajectory just went upwards. What was that specific turning point for you?
It's a really good question. So I was part of a business transformation in an energy company about 7 years ago. And it was the largest transformation in the company's history. This was a company of over 120,000 people globally. And they recognized that they had to change the way that they worked, specifically around the subject of safety and operational risk. Mm-hmm. And what you saw at the start of this journey was a executive town hall event, right? Paul, you've seen them before. Executives standing on a stage, launching this new strategy, launching this new narrative. Hey, here are the values that we need to adhere to. Here's our new management and operating system. All fantastic stuff. What then happened is I saw members of my team and teams around me go back to their desks, okay, literally after the town hall. You know, everyone's sort of walking away and they're having a chat and saying, and the conversations were around, wow, that was fantastic. I'm completely bought in to what the organization is trying to do. So what they had achieved was buy-in. But what they missed was active participation. In other words, people weren't really clear on what they had to do. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we need to be safe and we need to, you know, respect integrity and all of these words that were flying around. And we could see all these new systems in place. But there was this kind of pause where people going, okay, what do I need to do with my team? What's the conversation that I need to have with my team? What do we need to start doing differently straight away? And that for me, Paul, was this chasm between buy-in, which most organizations achieve, and participation. And participation is where you can get to performance much, much, much quicker. And that's where you can get to business transformation success. Because 70% of these transformations are unsuccessful because of this initial kind of gap at the beginning where people are like, I get it, but I'm not sure what you want me to do. And that for me was the real sort of insight saying we can help organizations there. We can help through our experiences. We can help teams understand what it is and what's being asked of them and what are those first few steps. Mm-hmm. And that was the big light bulb moment for me.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when you have these large conferences for multiple days and then you're all hyped up and positive. And then 2 or 3 days later, you're like, okay, that was great. But there was no implementation whatsoever.
So, yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting, what we've seen, Paul, actually in the last 12 months, where a lot of organizations are turning to us asking for help to engage with this distributed remote workforce, is actually we're seeing some real positive metrics in terms of engagement, in terms of learning retention, and in terms of action, because much less of that sort of PowerPoint and those Zoom presentations to a team-based gamified experience with C6. And we're seeing some really fantastic results just over the last over 12 months where people are saying, okay, this might be the new way of doing things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine it being a fear from some of the entrepreneurs, some of the bigger organizations. You know, what happens to productivity as a result of this work from home culture? What happens to team building? What happens to all these other things?
Yeah, absolutely. Productivity is interesting because in some areas productivity has actually risen in some areas.
Yep.
But engagement is a huge challenge because what's happening, Paul, there's two things at play, right? So organizations are going through a transformation. It might be an agile transformation. It might be a digital transformation. using new technology, etc. But you've also got this remote workforce. So how can you engage that workforce with this new way of operating, with this new way of working? And this, you know, in 2021, I think will really separate successful and less successful organizations. There's been a lot of strategic thinking been going on, I think, over the last 6 to 9 months. And now we're entering a really important phase where this engagement with the workforce and driving absolute clarity at the team level as to what they need to do is critically important. And there's some, you know, this is great for morale because, you know, people want to feel that they're part of something. They might be sat at home, right, and on Zoom calls all day, but they want to be part of the journey. You know, we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. That's what people want to feel that they're part of, rather than just sat at home and going from Zoom presentation to Zoom presentation.
Yeah. All right. We're going to switch gears a little bit to some reflections of the past. So I'll start with an easy one. What do you think is the best decision you've ever made business-wise?
I remember it very well. I was, it was over a beer, and it was with a good friend of mine who's now my business partner and co-founder, and his name is Toby. And Toby is a technologist. I've never met anybody who is so great at building and leading software teams, product teams. And I recognized over that beer that we both look at this engagement challenge in different ways. I look at it through participation and the actual experience itself and people punching the air and really getting excited. And he looks at it through a perspective of using really clever technology, beautifully designed user interfaces, make, you know, the finest detail of the UX of an individual and team. And I recognize, Paul, that this is somebody who I want to go into business with. This is somebody who I want to be a partner because of, you know, that those different perspectives proven to be our competitive advantage. It would have been quite easy for me to go into business with someone with a similar background to me. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs do that. We have, you know, we look at things in the same way. But Toby and I look at this problem. We're both passionate about solving it, but we look at it very differently. And at C6, we see this every single day with our delivery team and our product team, this collision of ideas. And it's fun. It's really, really fun. And that decision that I made in Southwest London many years ago was the best business decision that I made.
You know, many of the answers to that question usually involve grabbing a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not the first one. You're not the first one involved. You know what it reminds, his the way you describe him is similar to when like the small little detail of a MacBook where the light oscillates, it like lights up a little bit more and then a little bit less. And it's like, okay, that's something so simple, but it evokes some type of an emotional feeling. Yeah. And it's just those small attention to details that just, you have like a positive reaction to that, to those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
At that point. All right, let's switch to the harder question. What is the worst financial or worst business decision you've ever made?
That is a tough one. I think probably saying in the early days of the business, I think I said yes to work that we shouldn't have said yes to. That wasn't quite the right sort of fit for our skill set and capabilities. Big sort of heavy sort of service type work, lots of sort of big sort of clunky consulting engagement. And it's a terrible decision for, first of all, the client, because what I should have really said is, we're not the right fit. You need to go elsewhere. It was a terrible decision for us because it was 6 months of pain and misery. And we just felt really sort of bent out of shape, if that makes sense. We're like, this isn't really our sort of swim lane. We're not, this isn't particularly what we excel at. But we said yes, because we didn't have the confidence to say no. And that was about 6 years ago. We learned some real hard lessons. And at the end of it, we said as a team, we're not just going to say yes to everything going forward. We're going to stick to what we're really great at. And we found since making that decision, you know, saying no or sort of pointing people in the other direction has just such a great multiplier effect anyway, because they come back or they really appreciate that candor and that sort of response from us. So it was a hard lesson and a painful one, but one we haven't made since.
That's great. We find a lot of commonalities with that as well, where it's just the number one thing is cash flow and top line sales, and then let's figure it out. And then you realize you're spending hundreds of thousands of hours trying to develop the service model around this one or two clients. So
exactly.
Definitely relate. Exactly. All right. This is kind of off the topic, but legacy involves money in some way, shape, or form. There's the emotional legacy or whatnot. What would be your relationship with money? Like, why is it money important to you or important to your legacy?
Money, I think, enables me, provides a platform for me to go and sort of support other people like me. It enables me to have a platform where I can go and sort of support other entrepreneurs who have been on a similar journey to me. Actually sort of build resources and playbooks. This is probably a few moons away for me right now, but supporting them on their journey, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Because and similar businesses, right? So people who have built a B2B SaaS business, or who aspire to build a B2B SaaS business. It's also really important personally, right? I have a young family, that's really important as well, being able to provide for them and support my children in their journey in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually dovetails into the next question, which is, you know, what freedoms would you like more of as an entrepreneur?
I'd like more time. I was thinking about this morning, actually. So I'm a keen triathlete. My business partner Toby and I actually years ago did an Ironman triathlon in Mexico, and Ironman triathlons take, you know, you probably need to put about 20 hours a week of training, swimming, cycling, and running. And I'd like to do more of that in the next few years, but of course, time is the biggest constraint. There's a sort of tipping point for me though, Paul, around pulling away from parts of C6, specifically the product team, the growth, the delivery team, and the delivery team do this sort of trainer work with our clients. And I was heavily involved in that in the early years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting better at stepping away from that. And there's trust components to that. There's giving your team the autonomy that they need. That's a journey. I think it comes naturally as a business grows, because you've only got 24 hours in the day. It's good to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. So it does come naturally. But yeah, I'd love a bit more time, but I'm still in my early 40s. I feel like I've still got some work to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which part of the triathlon are you best at? Biking, running, swimming? Where's your strong suit?
My strong suit is having a beer at the end. That's a fine, my strong suit. I don't like the swim. I find the swim quite hard. And I think I enjoy the bike. if I had, it was a Saturday afternoon and the sun was shining, I'd choose to go on a bike ride.
Yeah.
My wife is a runner. She would choose to go out for a run for a couple of hours. But no, I think biking is what I enjoy, and therefore that's what I do. And I actually think, Paul, there's a bit of career advice there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're, so many people think, oh, I need to really work on this bit that I'm not very good at. But that's not how I look at it. I think, you know, do what you enjoy, because you'll probably end up being quite good at it.
Mm-hmm. If there was one thing you were to change about your business today, what would it be?
Yikes, that is a good question. I think we can always make it. We're really focusing on the concept of build your own experience, and that is we feel like there is so much work to do. If you think about what SurveyMonkey's done to the sort of survey building space, if you think about what Wix has done to the website building space, we aspire to be in this place where people can operate in a completely code-free environment, and they can really curate their own experiences over a matter of hours. We're quite close to that, but for me, that is just, there's just so much potential there, and we're just really enjoying the journey and sinking our teeth into that every day. Mm-hmm. It's really, really fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's important. It's important, yeah, to stay consistent and stay through it, because there are those, I'm sure those, you've had plenty of those days where you're like, all right, I don't want to be here right now. And
yeah,
let's do something else.
Yeah, there's also another sort of part of our business from an analytics perspective, because all of our experiences on a digital platform, there's a huge opportunity from an insight capture perspective. We call it SimIQ. And, you know, we capture amazing, very interesting data points from participants on our experiences. And there's lots and lots that you can do with that. So from a analytics perspective, we're building out that side of the business as well. Mm-hmm. It's really working closely with the clients, understanding what they want to understand better with their remote teams. But that's another sort of tip of the iceberg opportunity for us.
Great. So I can't leave this without asking the main question. You know, there's two parts. When you think of legacy, what do you think of? That's the first part. And the second part is, what type of legacy do you want to leave?
So when I think about legacy, I love the question. I think about our customers first and foremost, and the participants of our experiences. So I think about the challenges that they face, the change challenges, and the adoption of new technology challenges, the business transformation challenges, and how our experiences help them in the context in which they work in, within their teams, within their organizations. Our experiences gives them that insight, that awareness to doing something differently that leads to their success. And I think if they can drive home at night after going through a C6 experience and feel that they've got some additional clarity as to what to do, then that's a legacy that I personally be super, super proud of. Secondly, I think from the market perspective, we feel by disrupting the simulation space, we feel that we're passing on huge efficiencies to our customers, enabling them to build their own experiences themselves. There's just crazy, crazy efficiencies for them. But personally, you know, from a C6 perspective, Toby and I have had this conversation. And Paul, we picture standing by a bar and looking at a crowded dance floor, okay? Mm. Loads of people, let's say there are 50 people on the dance floor, and they are all C6 employees. Mm. And we ask ourselves three questions. Number one, they all enjoy working with the people that they are dancing next to. So they're a part of a high-performing team, and they enjoy working with each other every day. Mm-hmm. Number two, they're fulfilling their potential. They feel that they're being stretched at C6, that they're being challenged at C6 every day, and no day is boring. And thirdly, they go home at night, and they can provide for whomever they need to provide for. So if they're, you know, they can provide for their families or whatever. So if those people on that dance floor, if we can achieve those three things, then Toby and I are immensely proud. And for me personally, is a legacy. I could step away from C6. And if that's what we leave behind, those people who enjoy working there, who are challenged and are providing for their families and loved ones, then that's a legacy that I'll be very proud of.
That's a chilling image, especially, you know, in today's times where, you know, we're not in crowds and everything else, but to actually visually see that. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So is there any, if someone were to start out thinking about their legacy or thinking about their business journey, what steps would you give them, or what type of advice would you give them?
I sort of just picture standing on the mountaintop, right, and looking down the path that you've just walked down, and I don't, you know, for me, I think relationships are important, and there will be nurturing those relationships, trying not to leave too many, you know, bodies in the wake. You know, everyone who you meet with, everyone who you work with, it may not work out every time, but just treat everyone with respect and just have no regrets, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if I'm sort of in a discussion and it may not be the right fit, the decision that I make, Paul, is in years down the line, I don't want to regret how I treated anybody. I don't want to think that I could have been more respectful. So I always try and put myself a couple of years ahead and go, in 5 years' time, this discussion isn't going to matter. Like the outcome of this discussion, the direction of the product or the client or whatever, it's not going to matter. What will matter is how I acted in that moment and how I treated that person. Mm-hmm. So I think with every step that you take, if you just always go back to, I'm going to treat this person with respect, I'm going to treat all the people I interact with as equals. And, you know, my mother always used to say, the only time you should look down on someone is if you're helping them up. Mm. And, you know, I that's what we really try and build that in C6. We're one team, and we want to treat everyone with that respect at every turn. Secondly, finally, in terms of the customers, every single customer and every single experience matters equally. You know, we are very, very fortunate to work with some amazing companies, some of the biggest beer companies, some of the biggest financial services firms in the world. We also work with much smaller companies who are much, much earlier on in their journey. Mm-hmm. And we just try and treat people, everyone the same, because it matters, you know, that smaller startup or that smaller business that's going through one of our experiences, they care about their business as much as that executive at Goldman Sachs cares. You know, it's not, you know, not one is more important than the other. And that's how we think about it.
Great. Great. Well, thank you for being a guest. It was a pleasure. And just one final plug. If you want to be a guest on my show, go to Legacy Podcast. That's www.businesslegacypodcast.com to book your interview. And thank you again, Graham.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Business Legacy Show. If you're a thoughtful business owner who would like to be a guest on this program, please visit businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. That's businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. Now, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you do that, tag us with hashtag Business Legacy Podcast. Again, hashtag Business Legacy Podcast. Each month, we scour Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. We pick one winner from each platform, and you get crowned king or queen of that social media. What do you win? We're going to promote you and your business to our audience of over 150,000 people totally free. Now, can you hook us up in your podcast player right now? Please give us a thumbs up or a rating and a review. We promise to read it all and take action. We believe that a person's legacy is the most important thing someone can leave the next generation, and your feedback helps us fulfill our mission. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button. You know why? Because every week for 15 minutes, you are going to be inspired and motivated to leave a lasting and meaningful legacy. My name is Chris Womerding. Let's connect on the socials. You'll find all the stuff we're doing at businesslegacypodcast.com. Again, businesslegacypodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being part of the Business Legacy Movement.